Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Rama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopinandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Guru Ranga. All glories to the Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10. Oh, and a reminder from the announcer that, thank you, tomorrow is Ekadasi, for those of us who like to be mentally prepared. Ekadasi tomorrow. Day of the Mother of Devotion, sometimes known as the Mother of Potatoes. Well, for those that still have, thank you, still have the digestion for that. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Everybody's sufficiently bundled up. Not even cold, but anyway, okay. Hare Krishna, I know. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, which everybody knows is called The Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. He's almost about to leave. There's just a couple of more verses in the chapter. Today we're doing verse 32 and 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Narayanam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Atojayam Udirayet.
Atojayam Udirayet.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes of the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srimad Bhagavatam. So text 32 is up there on the board. Great. Ajata Shatru Pritanam.
Ajata Shatru
Pritanam. Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Harebhya Shankita Snehat.
Harebhya Shankita Snehat.
Harebhya Shankita Snehat. Prayukta Chatur Anginam.
Anginam.
Prayukta Chatur Anginim.
Prayukta Chatur Anginim.
Ajata Shatru Pritanam.
Ajata Shatru Pritanam.
Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Gopitaya Madhudvisha.
Harebhya Shankita Snehat.
Harebhya Shankita Snehat.
Prayukta Chatur Anginim.
Prayukta Chatur Anginim.
Please chant. Ajata Shatru Pritanam Gopitaya Madhudvisha Paribhya Shankita Sneha Prayanta Shatru Anginim Ajata Shatru Pritanam Gopitaya Madhudvisha Parebhya Sankita Sneha Prayukta Chatur Anginim Ajata Shatru Pritanam Gopitaya Madhudvisha Parebhya Shankita Sneha Prayukta Chaturanginim Ajata Shatru Pritanam Gopitaya Madhudvisha Parebhya Shankita Sneha Prayukta Chaturanginim Ajata Shatru.
Ajata Shatru.
Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Who was no one's enemy.
Who was no one's enemy.
Pritanam. Defense forces.
Defensive forces. Forces.
Gopitaya.
Gopitaya.
For giving protection.
Protection.
Madhudvisha.
Madhudvisha.
The enemy of Madhu, Sri Krishna.
The enemy of Madhu, Sri Krishna.
Harebhya.
Harebhya.
From others, enemies.
Sankita,
being afraid of.
Snehat,
out of affection.
Prayukta,
engage.
Chatur
Anginim,
four defensive divisions.
Not offensive divisions, but defensive divisions. Hare Krishna. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy, and also out of affection for the Lord. Let's say it together. Maharaj Yudhisthira, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the asuras, demons. Maharaj did this because of the enemy, and also out of affection for the Lord. So I'd like to go instead right to the purport. I'd like to go to the next verse now, and we can chant it together, because there's no purport to that verse, and then we'll have the complete thing. It's 33. And next. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Together. Atha durangatam shauri korvanam viharatuan sanivartya jidham snigdham prayat samarlinam kriya. Translation. Out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, who are of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded toward Dwarka with his dear companions. So then today's verse and purport, sorry to make you go back and forth, but translation to today's verse, Maharaj Yudhisthira, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy, and also out of affection for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport, natural defensive measures are horses and elephants, combined with chariots and men. Horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forests and plains. The charioteers could fight with many horses and elephants by the strength of powerful arrows, even up to the standard of the Brahmastra, similar to modern atomic weapons. Maharaj Yudhisthira knew well that Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher. And yet, there were asuras who were by nature envious of the Lord. So out of fear of attack from others, and out of affection also, he engaged all varieties of defensive forces as bodyguards of Lord Krishna. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others who counted the Lord as their enemy. But still, he accepted all the arrangements made by Maharaj Yudhisthira, because he could not disobey the king, who was his elder cousin. The Lord plays the part of a subordinate in his transcendental sporting, and thus sometimes he puts himself in the care of Yasoda Mata for his protection in his so-called helplessness of childhood. That is the transcendental lila, or pastime, of the Lord. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmananda. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyanati mirandasya jnanjana salakaya chakshu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm totally indebted to him, unable to pay back that debt, but I beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shri Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and all of those defensive divisions that were engaged to protect the Lord on his journey to Dwarka from Hastinapur. So this verse is explaining, this whole chapter. This whole chapter is an immersion into rasa. In the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, according to Srila Rupa Goswami's writing in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada states that one of Krishna's names is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the reservoir. Krishna's the reservoir of all rasas. And then Prabhupada goes on to give an explanation, a lengthy explanation of what rasa means, because it's not a word that we naturally are accustomed to in Western culture, or Western unculture. So he's explaining this. Rasa means the relationship. It's the juice. It's the relationship between the mother and the son. It's the relationship between the lover and the loved. It's relationship between friend and friend. It's that mellow, that sweet, that taste that one gets from relationships. So it's a very important point. Akhila Rasamrita Murti is a very important point in our in philosophy, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, because it centers around the understanding, the very important understanding, the preliminary understanding that God's a person. He's a person. And he's not a person on the same level as you and I, but he's a person, and he's the source of everything. And because here in the material world, we're experiencing various relationships, and more often than not, various difficulties in those relationships, Krishna, it exists there in the Lord, or else it wouldn't exist here in the material world. The exchanges between relationships are there. And so scientifically presented through the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, because most of us would never have even thought to analyze the different levels of relationships. And, you know, we just, you know, go through life kind of stumbling in the dark. Anyway, but they have it also scientifically arranged and analyzed, and different divisions and different levels, different types of friends. There's the Surit friend, the bosom buddy friend. There's different types of friends that are a little less tight. I can't remember the Sanskrit for the other types of friendship, but it's all very scientifically analyzed. But so this chapter, Departure of Lord Krishna to Dwarka, so many different levels of relationships have been already mentioned in just in this scenario of Lord Krishna leaving Hastinapur. So many ladies who are so attached to the Lord, affectionately seeing the Lord from the rooftops and glorifying the Lord. And it was described that their prayers were even more dear to the Lord than the formal hymns of the Vedas. But their prayers glorifying the Lord out of what? Sneha. They had an affection. They had an attraction for the Lord. Even though, it was explained, they didn't have direct, a lot of them, didn't have direct contact with the Lord. So that's kind of like, we can gather from that there's... you know that no one left behind phrase? It was for education, an educational thing. Once some president had that, the teacher's shaking your head. No one left, no student left behind. So in that sense, no living entity in the material world is left behind in the relationship. Everybody has a relationship, an affectionate relationship with the Lord in some one of those loving exchanges. The unfortunate thing is that we've totally forgotten about that. That's our problem. But the solution to the problem is to engage in the waking up process of sadhana bhakti and reestablishing that relationship that we have with the Lord. And that's done gradually. Excuse me. Okay. Rasa, yeah. So Krishna's the source of rasa. And he's engaging in his loving exchanges with so many people. I just mentioned the ladies on the rooftop, but there was the prominent relatives that were mentioned, and now here in this again is bringing back to Maharaj Yudhisthira's affectionate relationship to the Lord. Even though the Lord appeared in the same family line as Yudhisthira, is considered Maharaj Yudhisthira is an elder cousin of the Lord, or at least a cousin. I guess he's an elder. He's the eldest Pandava. That's what he is. So Krishna's it's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Lord Krishna feels obligated to his relationship to him as a cousin and as a friend with affection. So in this verse, the very first word is also very interesting, Ajata Shatru. That's a description for Lord, for Maharaj Yudhisthira, Ajata Shatru, one whose enemy was one who's no one's enemy. And it's so interesting, isn't it, that there's Maharaj Yudhisthira who has no, he personally doesn't feel inimical towards anyone. Yet he's somehow or other involved in this huge fratricidal war where 640 million people are killed, and he's thinking it was all because of me. And at the same time, he's still called Ajatashatru. He has no enemies. He has no enemies. That's how entangling this material world is. It's so entangling. And even with the best intentions. Of course, that pastime of the Battle of Kurukshetra, it's obviously enacted on the platform of Leela. That was the Lord's arrangement at that time for purifying the world of all of its bellicose forces. And Maharaj Yudhisthira had a part to play in that. And so he played his part fully, even though he himself didn't feel inimical towards anyone. It's totally amazing. Also mentioned in this verse is that the Lord, that Maharaj Yudhisthira engaged four divisions of defenses. So four Akshahini divisions of soldiers were engaged in that parade, in escorting the Lord to Dwarka. Four divisions. Just as a reminder of how many people are in an Akshahini. Do you have it at the top of your head? How many soldiers are in an Akshahini? I had to look it up. It's
a lot.
You're right. And specifically, the lot is, just to fix it in our mind, it wasn't just the Macy's Day Parade or anything like that. This was huge. There's just in one Akshahini division, there's 21,870 chariots and 21,870 elephants. And 109,350 of the infantry soldiers. Those are the ones that are walking. And 65,610 cavalry. So they're on the horses. And multiplied times four was 962,280. That's a lot of people. Imagine cooking for them. And it was all arranged, yeah. Yeah, and camping and all of the paraphernalia you needed. Anyway, it's just an interesting little factoid, you know, that so much endeavor was there. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport also, Krishna could have taken care of any enemy that came along with just a flick of his finger or a blink of his eye or just willing, just a poof of his hand. But still, out of Maharaj, and Maharaj Yudhisthira knew that full well, but still, out of affection and because he knew that the tense situation after the Battle of Kurukshetra, of the families of the dead soldiers still feeling inimical, perhaps might think that they would try to take revenge somehow or other. So Maharaj Yudhisthira engaged a very serious accompaniment of defense forces. So this is just for ourselves when we're reading these pastimes of the Lord, we can get a glimpse into that loving relationship that the Lord has. That's actually, I think, a major point of chapters like this, is to see how Krishna's lovingly reciprocating with every individual. It's mentioned more than once how, even when there's a crowd that's greeting him, He'll offer his respects to the elders. He'll embrace those that are equal. He'll accept the respects from the youngers and the subordinates. And then even those that aren't right there in the immediate entourage, he'll give them loving glances and acknowledge his relationship with them through his eyes or sweet words or something. So even our position is incalculably insignificant, our position in relation to Krishna and all the other living entities. It's incalculably insignificant, but still it's significant. Still we have a significance with the Lord. We have a relationship with the Lord, a loving relationship with the Lord. And it's our opportunity that we have through this Krishna conscious philosophy to dig deep and uncover that relationship. It doesn't come artificially. It's not that we impose something. Oh, I think I'm a XYZ, fill in the blank. But actually, it's revealed knowledge. First verse of the Bhagavatam. Janmad yasyadyataha. Not right there, but where it says, Lord Brahma. It's the Lord, knowledge is revealed in Lord Brahma's heart. The knowledge was revealed to Lord Brahma through his heart. So this is a process of revealed knowledge that comes when the Lord's pleased. When the Lord's pleased with the effort, with the Herculean tiny effort. It's Herculean and it's also insignificant at the same time. It's Herculean, especially in this age of Kali, to try to revive one's dormant relationship with God is definitely swimming against the current, no? The current of Kali Yuga, the degraded age of Kali Yuga, the eat, drink, and be merry, and there's no responsibility for anything, and don't worry about anything, just do it. How many t-shirts have you seen like that? Just do it. You know, whatever whims come to your mind, just do it. We won't go off on that. But to try to go against that attitude and try to think, and try to revive our loving relationship with the Lord, it's definitely swimming against the current. But it is possible. It is possible by this amazing process that we have. So I was reading, not very recently, but somehow or other it came to mind when I was preparing for this class, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, I'll admit publicly I didn't get very far in this book, but just the very first verse was enough to give, I got beyond that, but I'm just saying. But the very first verse was so exciting and so full of nectar. Here, I'm going to read it to you and then explain where I saw the correlation. So this is, Laghu Bhagavatamrita is written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Laghu means small, and it's a commentary. I don't know if it's a commentary, but anyway, it has something to do with Sanatan Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita, you know? So Rupa Goswami wrote this Laghu, the little commentary, the little nectar. And this particular treatise is dealing with the avatars, all the different avatars and their potencies and things. So the very first verse, text number one, after he says, Om Namaha Shri Krishnaya, obeisances to Lord Krishna. Then he says, Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Kunta Medhase Yodata Sarva Bhutanam Abhava Yosati Kala. One more time. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Kunta Medhase Yodata Sarva Bhutanam Abhava Yosati Kala. Translation is, I offer my obeisances to the bestower of unimpeded intelligence. That's Akunta Medhase. Medhase is intelligence. Akunta is unimpeded intelligence. I offer my obeisances to the bestower of unimpeded intelligence, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who manifests his all-attractive personal expansions so that all living entities can achieve liberation. So this is the reason that why the Lord comes in his various incarnations and performs his pastimes within the material world. He comes to attract the living entities who have forgotten their relationship with the Lord. He's come to wake us up, and he comes continually. We were reading in our, one of those, was it Gopal Champu that we were reading in it? About, anyway, one of Brihad Bhagavatam, Gopal Champu. Oh no, sorry. It was Srimad Bhagavatam in Spanish that I was reading. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam was in the first canto we were reading just yesterday about how the Lord comes and incarnates in every yuga to reestablish Dharma. It was just mentioned in the first canto purports, you know. And one of the girls commented, oh, but if he comes all the time, how come it seems like he's not here now? And I was explaining, he's coming all the time. Bhagavatam explains that it's, the incarnations of the Lord are as innumerable as the waves of the sea. So how often is a wave come? It's just a few feet between one wave and the next wave. Sometimes they even come more quickly than that. There's just a few feet, so they're coming constantly. Another place the Bhagavatam explains that the Lord's incarnations are like the flowing of water from a waterfall. It's constant. It's constant. But because we have it's our conception of time. That's what the problem is. Because Krishna's coming constantly, and he's present as we speak in the form of the Bhagavatam now in Kali Yuga. He's here in the form of the Bhagavatam, and he's here in his holy name, and he's here in his beautiful deity form. So he's here. But it's our eyes that need to be cleansed. It's not that he's not here. Why isn't Krishna saving us from
the elections
or whatever? You know, why isn't he manifesting, straightening out so many things? He is here. We just have to look to see it. So, no, I forget where I was going with that. So he is coming, but it's the time factor that makes us think that he's not doing enough or not coming soon enough. Whereas if you remember in the past time when Lord Brahma stole the cow-powered boys and calves, he was just gone for 2 seconds. He was just gone for 2 seconds, and then he thought, ooh, I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I better go back. And then he goes back, and what's happened? A year of time has passed on this planetary, you know, experience. So we're thinking that this life of 30 or 40 or hopefully longer than that, 50 or 60 or 80 years is a long time, or a few lifetimes is a long time. And we're not seeing that. We've had, in the course of eternity, that's just like not even a half of a second, those lifetimes. Anyway, so back to the point of Krishna coming, and he's coming to attract the living entities, and they will be attracted when their hearts become cleansed. So further on in this purport to Lagu Bhagavatamrita, I want to get back to that point of akuntita medhase, unimpeded intelligence, because I had previously said how we will be able to revive our relationship, our loving, personal, unique relationship with the Lord when the Lord is pleased with us. So here Rupa Goswami is saying he'll give us that unimpeded intelligence so that we can make progress in the path of devotional service when he's pleased with us. And he's pleased by our endeavor. So further along in the purport, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan says that this Mangalacharana, the opening prayer of benediction that Rupa Goswami just stated, was intended by the author to incinerate all obstacles as if they were a heap of dry grass, and to dispense nectar like a downpour from a rain cloud, fulfilling all desires. So for the conditioned living entity who's, you know, the sadhaka, the yous and the bees that are
you know, trying to apply ourselves to the process of sadhana bhakti and gradually meeting with various challenges along the way and coming face to face with our own shortcomings and our own sometimes enthusiasm to execute devotional service and sometimes less enthusiastic to execute devotional service. When we come in face to face with our own shortcomings, oftentimes there's discouragement there. How am I ever going to make it? Because I have so many disqualifications. But here, Baladeva Vidyabhusan said an invocation mantra like this, where Rupa Goswami is saying that the Lord's going to give, he's the bestower of unimpeded intelligence. It's meant to encourage us. There's no obstacle, there's no bad quality that we have that is impossible for the Lord to remove. Yes, it might be seemingly difficult and impossible for us to remove it, to remove the envy and the lust and the greed and etc., etc. in our hearts. But for Krishna, it's just like a heap of dry grass. You light a match to a heap of dry grass and it's sizzled and gone in seconds. So I find things like these encouraging. They're encouraging us to keep on with the process and see things from a broader perspective. So you know that phrase, you can't see the forest through the trees, because we're looking, because we're stuck inside our own mind and bodies, you know, and we're looking at our endeavor and our lack of endeavor and our disqualifications that, you know, lack of enthusiasm, so many things. And it gets very discouraging, but all of that can be completely, you know, brushed aside, just like by the Lord, by His potency, when He's pleased. And when you might think, now the mind might be saying, there might be a mind out there somewhere that's saying, yeah, but when is He going to be pleased? I've been trying so hard. Well, you know, we think, that's the thing, we do think that we've been trying so hard for 30 years, 40 years, 10 years, whatever, and you know, He shouldn't know that I'm doing my best. Well, you know what? He does know you're doing your best. But He also knows you can do better too, huh? But aside from that, the perspective, the time perspective is important to get, to understand. Just like recently at the end of a class, of course I can't remember which class, I can't remember if it was the Govardhan retreat class or one of these Bhagavatam classes, but in the end of a class that I was hearing recently, oh yeah, it was Govardhan retreat, somebody was saying, a person was saying how, I'm paraphrasing, that they felt discouraged. They felt discouraged, they've been trying and they're feeling a little discouraged that they're not seeing results. So, on the other side of the computer, I was thinking, yeah, but. I was remembering the first chapter of Nectar Devotion. The first chapter when I had the opportunity to study the Bhakti Shastri many moons ago in Mayapur, that first chapter really gave me, really broadened my perspective. Because, okay, in the first chapter it talks about the six qualifications of pure devotional service, the six qualities of pure devotional service. And the first one was, I think, all auspicious, I think. Anyway, but in there, in that subheading of that chapter, Srila Prabhupada briefly mentions from the Padma, quotes from the Padma Purana, the reactions of sinful desire. How we're here in the material world due to ignorance. And based on ignorance, we have desires. Based on ignorance. So we have sinful desires based on ignorance. And because of those sinful desires, then we act in ignorance. And because we act in ignorance, we get two types of reactions. Prarabdha and aparabdha. The ones that are manifest immediately, and the ones that are manifest in the future, not immediately. And because of that, reactions to sinful activities, we get one of the reactions to committing sinful activities, unfortunately, but by the divine arrangement of the Lord, is the desire to do it again.
That's, Srila Prabhupada always warns us of how the material world is so entangling. And within that warning is all of that information. But when you pull it out and see how it is that we become entangled, so when we act in the sin, when we act sinfully, we get the reactions for that sin, and we get the desire to do it again. It's an incredible, and it just wakens us up to the fact that, yes, this material world is very entangling. Okay, so back to this point here, how that, it kind of just broadened my perspective, because we've been in the, you know, when you say, yeah, you say conditioned soul, you say, nitya buddha. Practically, we're in the material world eternally. Practically. It's not eternal, but it's so long, you can't trace out when we came. So that, so when you think of that, yeah, I've been in the material world a long time, we think a few lifetimes, this and that, but it's so long, and every single lifetime has good and bad reactions of activities that we've done. And from that, what we have now, Prarabdha, manifest in this life, manifest, is just a handful of those reactions. There's still a huge storehouse of reactions. And that just kind of broadened my perspective so I could understand, oh yeah, I've been practicing for 30 little measly years and thinking that I should have, you know, the highest result already, but not really understanding I've been here a long time. We need, that's why Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction, he says, patience. You need determination, you need patience, you need enthusiasm, because it's a long road. But that long road can be traversed very easily by those beginning steps that we're making in Krishna consciousness. And when Krishna pleases, when he's pleased, it's not like when he's pleased, he's just waiting, you know, and he's waiting for 100% endeavor and perfection and purity before he becomes pleased. He's pleased all along with the endeavor that we're making. And therefore, he's giving us what? More opportunity. That's a sign of his pleasure. That he's giving us more opportunity to serve in some way, this way, or to hear more, or to associate with the devotees. That's a sign of his pleasure. And by giving us an opportunity to hear more or serve more in various ways or be challenged in various ways, then we get to endeavor more and more, and Krishna bestows more and more of his pleasing glance on one and all, and one is making gradual and thorough process. Progress in the path of devotional service. So back to this Lagum Bhagavatamrita first purport, and in relation to the unimpeded intelligence. So if our intelligence is unimpeded, then we'll be able to ply smoothly on the crossing the ocean of material existence. Here's another verse from Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan that's also so encouraging. He says, may our attraction ever flow toward that truth who grants contentment in exchange for even a shadow of devotion, who oversees the principles of righteousness and who delivers the universe with his name, the Supreme Truth, in the forms of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Acharya, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even a shadow of devotion, even a little glimpse of devotion, even an imitation of devotional service, even chanting the holy name in jest or ridicule, that grants that chanter lots of progress on the path of spiritual realization. And then there's one more thing that I wanted to read from here. This Bhagavan is the same Krishna who, as a baby, drinks the breast milk of Mother Yasoda. By his grace alone, anyone can attain the steady, keen intelligence, Akunta Medhas, that enables one to to know the absolute truth. So those encouraging statements are there so that we can get off the mental platform, and thinking that, oh, woe is me, oh, I'm not making any progress, oh, I'll never make it, oh, everyone else seems to be more advanced, more intelligent, more this, more that than I am. But, you know, it's the trick of the mind. And if we, through reading these chapters and these exchanges that the Lord has, these simple but heartfelt personal exchanges that he has with all sorts of devotees from all sorts of relations, you know, which what relative importance, very some very close and very loving, some distant but still loving, and still those who have an apparently distant relationship with the Lord are also feeling an intimate connection with him simultaneously. So that it gives us encouragement to stick to the path of bhakti for the fruits and blessings of bhakti are beyond the last sentence in the purport. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and the devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmananda. So it's, again, in that nectar of devotion, Srila Prabhupada talks about the happy, well, actually there's a prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami where he compares the happiness of Brahmananda in comparison to the happiness of the ocean of devotional service. It's not even a fig, the happiness of Brahmananda, which is, according to, there's some verse, somewhere in the Bhagavatam there's a verse that says that the happiness in the heavenly planets are thousands of times greater than the happiness in the material world. And the happiness in the next level of planets is a thousand times greater than that. And the happiness in that is a million times greater. And the happiness of Brahmananda, realizing that you're one with the Supreme Lord, is incalculably blissful. And that happiness is not even a drop compared to the happiness, the Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, of the bliss of the ocean of devotional service. And the Lord and it's not by our endeavor. We need to make our endeavor, you know, but by the Lord, when the Lord will be pleased, he'll grant that akunta medhase, there's unimpeded intelligence to stay at his lotus feet. Comments, questions? Abhigya Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji, for a nice class. So, it sounds a little pessimistic. You said, you know, you have been doing it for like 30, 40 years and, you know, still not getting that glimpse. And what? Then it sounds so pessimistic for somebody like me, you know, we just started. Looks like, you know, we'll never get there.
That's because you didn't hear properly. Okay? With all due respect. It is true that we're making our endeavor. We're making our endeavor for 30 or 40 years and we're not there at perfection. It is true. But it doesn't mean that there's no taste that's there. Because if there's been no taste, then no one would stick with it. Just like you're experiencing a taste. Just like I remember when you first came and what you looked like when you first came and what you look like now. When you first shaved off your beard and your hair, I thought, who is that person? That's a different person. I thought it was a different person. And when I approached you, I don't know if you remember, I said, oh, it took me a while to recognize you. And you said, it's because I gave up something to the effect, you said, I gave up the influence of the modes of ignorance. You know, and now because of the influence of bhakti, you're so much more bright. So there's a taste there. Okay, so maybe you're not, you know, 100% pure just yet. But it's a gradual unfolding and there's a gradual taste there. So the trick of the mind is, oh, I'll never reach. Oh, it's impossible. Oh, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the tricks. I mean, to a certain point, lamentation is good. But to a point where it impedes you from continuing on with the process, then that lamentation is a sign of a trick of Maya. So lamentation is there. I can't remember if Madhumati, you were quoting some of the acharyas yesterday, correct? Anyway, you know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the prayers, Gopinath prayer. Again, it all gets all trans, which class it was, but the prayers of the acharyas, they express that hopeless condition, especially in that prayer Gopinath by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You know, I've wasted my whole life, and I just pursued material sense gratification and supported my family, and now in old age I'm just feeble and I can't do anything, and now I surrender to you, you know. But if you analyze those prayers, the acharyas, they're heartfelt. It's heartfelt. It's not false. It's not a false sentiment on their part. Well, let me just say that so I'll look good, or say that so that someone else can relate. They're actually feeling those things. But if you look at those prayers thoroughly, you'll see they express the deepest lamentation. But they don't leave you there. They don't leave you in the dump of lamentation. They bring you to the highest hope. And that's the spirituality of that lamentation. That it brings, that it doesn't keep you, it doesn't discourage you, or discourage one, it doesn't discourage one from making more progress, but it encourages you. Because, oh, please give me your mercy, and then I can attain. Mm-hmm. Oh, please, by your grace, let me hang in there. You know, they express the deep regret for their incapabilities and shortcomings, but they don't stay there in whatever that is, wallowing in I, me, and mine consciousness. But they say, I can't on my own get out. Just like the silkworm, he's made his bed, cocoon, and he can't escape from it. So we can't escape from our karma by our own endeavor. You know, the reactions of our sinful activities and our conditioned mentality by our own endeavor. But still we have to make that endeavor and plead for the highest hope of the mercy of the Lord, which we've seen by hearing through the Bhagavatam, how the Lord gives that opportunity to so many people. Just like it was mentioned in the verse, in Lagu Bhagavatam, it was mentioned how, anyway, one of these books, I thought of Putana. Yeah, because it said one was a shadow of devotion. Even in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Baladeva Vidyabhusan said that the Lord grants unimpeded intelligence to even one who exhibits even a shadow of devotion. So my mind thought of Putana. So there was Putana, the demoness who came to kill Krishna, and Krishna saw that, well, she's dressing like a devotee. She's acting like a mother. That wasn't even a shadow. That was just a glimpse, you know? She's dressing like a devotee. She's acting like a mother. Let me give her, you know, a situation that where she can act like a mother in the spiritual world. So that's our Lord. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate. And through him, all things are possible.
Thank you.
Sri Devi.
Thank you. I really appreciate your last comment about the lamentation, for example, in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but then how he doesn't leave us there.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. It's really nice. And also, it's a little bit bewildering. You know, these nityasiddhas that came to help out, you know, in the material world and in our movement, like Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, You know, and did they really feel that lamentation, or was it just kind of like for our benefit? You know, for example, like when Bhaktisiddhanta, when his father like left the world, and then his guru left the world,
yes,
like around the same time,
yes,
and then he was like, "I'm left all alone."
Yeah.
And then I think he had a dream where his father said, "Actually, you're not alone. You know, you have Lord Chaitanya, and the whole Sankirtan movement is behind you." So it's just bewildering how like they do have these, you know, dark moments.
Yeah.
Even though they know that they're like, you know, sent here.
Yes. Yes, and that's so that we can relate to them. If they came and just did everything perfectly, we'd think, oh, that's them. You know what I mean? Not that they're being imperfect either. It's like you said, it's that I have to put it together and see the whole picture, but it's so that we can relate to them and see that, yeah, if I apply myself, it is possible. It's relatable. Otherwise, if it wasn't relatable, then we'd think, okay, I'm going back to sleep in the body of Mahavishnu and wait until I come out in Nitya Siddha. Well, it might have to wait a few breaths of the Lord for that, you know.
I suppose Krishna gives them that true lamentation, those true feelings.
Well, I think also, although you're not supposed to say, I think it's because we're people, and it's a real emotion, and it's there because Krishna has it in perfection. He has it, so therefore we exhibit it, you know, through a shadow, through a covering, you know, in a perverted way. We exhibit it in a perverted way. He has, Krishna laments that he can't be with Radha when you think he could be. Do you ever think when Krishna, when it says that Krishna, about his dilemma about satisfying the residents of Vrindavan but being in Dwarka? I mean, he could just manifest another Krishna there and there. He could. He's done things like that a million times. But he doesn't do that. He just, you know, he chooses to act in a different way, and then he exhibits, you know, calling out the names of the cows and the gopis in Dwarka while he's sleeping at night because he's thinking of Vrindavan so much. So, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, Madhu, nectar, honey pot, mati.
I was thinking it comes down to the whole class you were mentioning, and you mentioned in the very start about Krishna being Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's rasa.
Yeah.
We're not into impersonalism.
Yeah.
This is way, that's why Prabhupada was so heavy on impersonalism. So yeah, it's rasa. And even these great Vaishnavas, the rasa with Krishna, feeling that separation. So
yeah,
that's the highest rasa. If they didn't feel that, I mean, something is not there. So that is the expression of separation that they're feeling, that I'm so this way and, you know, like that. And but then you also see they have expressions of, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, this or that, and, you know, I'm... So you see also that, you know, Vipralamba and Sambhog, they're together, and then you see that kind of feeling expressions in their bhajans. We're together with Krishna and they don't want anything else. You know?
The whole gamut of relationship, the whole gamut of taste. And Krishna, he's never satisfied with mediocrity.
Yeah.
He always stretches everything to the max. You know, the hearts of the gopis to the max, Mother Yasoda's love, motherly love to the max.
Yeah.
You know, Yudhisthira, the Arjuna, even the ladies on the rooftop that stretch to the max. They're always thinking of the Lord, and that's our Shri Krishna.
Thank you.
Yes, Jvara Prabhu, nice to see you again. Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking that the older you become in the processes, the more
put it closer to your mouth now. Go ahead.
The older you get in Krishna consciousness, the more you're grateful.
Yeah.
And remembering that it's a It's like an internal bank account. You put a little bit in, you never lose it. Even if you fall, you make problems. You get back, you keep putting it in there. And Prabhupada promised that the nectar is in the end.
Yeah.
This is a process preparing for the end.
Yeah.
Not so much have fun in the meantime.
Thank you. Yeah, the nectar's in the end, and there's nectar along the way to keep you to go to the end, too. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Is that everything? Okay, thank you very kindly for your prolonged attention. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari. What's that? Oh yeah, garland? Yes, Baba. Hare Krishna. You say that every time you take the garland. I do.
Wow. Really impressive. I don't want to pump you up.